Good morning, everyone. Now that the Olympics are, I think they're ending today, I believe, not soon. I'm glad that we had the Olympics because if we didn't have it, I probably would have gone crazy not having sports this summer. I'm really ready for football season to be back because if you don't know me, I'm a huge Gator fan. I don't know if you've ever seen my room, but I don't know, 2-3 years ago, the youth did something really cool for me. They came and painted my room orange and blue. So now I have a Gator room because I'm a huge Gator fan, so I'm really excited for it to come back and to see how they're going to do this season, because I don't really know, but I'm just excited to watch football because the Olympics were good, but I'm ready for some football. I was actually thinking, you know, like, what if they had football in the Olympics? I was like imagining like a Chinese football team. I don't know if that would really work, but you know, when we talk about football, it's usually two aspects. You got, you know, the offense, you're talking about maybe the quarterback or the offensive line, maybe there's like the wide receiver. You know, you got like your key, like kind of the stars on that squad. And then you got the defense, you know, the linebackers, maybe a cornerback or two, you know, the stars on that. But there's still another aspect of a football team, and that's the special team. You know, you don't really think about the special team that often, but they're just a crucial part of the football team as a quarterback or as an offensive lineman or anything like that. So they don't really get talked about that often, though, and I kind of feel bad for them because they're really that important. My favorite, I think, special teams player for the Gators was a guy, his name was Joey Ehas. He played back when Tebow played. And I remember one game that I was at, he punted the ball, and then he just started running down the field. You know, usually the punters or the kickers, they kind of hang back because, you know, the coaches don't want them to get hurt. But he started running down the field, and the guy who caught the ball, he was returning it. And this probably doesn't say much for the Gators special team as far as tackling goes, but he made it through all of them. But Joey Ehas, the punter, tackled that man to the ground, and it was a good tackle too. And that always stuck with me. I was like, wow, that guy's cool. I like him. Cause usually, you know, I like the kickers, but they usually, I always kind of think of them as kind of the sissies because, you know, they're like, don't touch me. And the refs are always like so protective, which is good, but it's also like, you know, it's football. So I really like him because he wasn't afraid. He went down there and he got that man to the ground. That guy was bigger than him too. So that's always stuck with me. But, you know, when you're on ESPN, you're watching ESPN or SportsCenter or whatever, usually the shining aspect of a team is like, oh, this team has a great specials team. You know, usually talking about like Peyton Manning or the quarterback or someone, you know, someone on the defense. But something I'd like to pose to you this morning is I think we kind of do the same thing with God. As we can think of, you know, God the Father, you know, the powerful, almighty God, the creator of everything, and then, you know, the God of justice, the God of power. He might be the offense, you know, and Jesus, you know, he's our Savior here. He redeemed us from our sins. He's an advocate for us. He intercedes for us. He might be our defense, but there's still, we serve a triune God, a three God, three persons in one, and the Holy Spirit. And I kind of think of the Holy Spirit as the special teams of the, if you wanted to make God a football team, I think that the Spirit would be the specials team, you know, still a very, very crucial part to a football team, but kind of undiscussed and, you know, kind of like the out in left field if we're going to start talking about baseball. So this morning, what I would like to do is I want to talk about the Holy Spirit because I think it's usually when you feel like hear the words being led by the Spirit, I think you're kind of like Church of God, Pentecostal, it kind of has, you know, almost a negative connotation, but it should not be that way. I really want to talk, you know, what the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and who he is, because he is a person of God. The Holy Spirit's not the force. It is a person of God. He has emotions, and we're going to talk about that today. I've been talking about, I don't know if any of you guys have read this book, this is called Forgotten God by Francis Chan. I love Francis Chan. I picked up this book a while ago, and I've been reading it, and it just blew me away because I think he's so right that the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of God. And I have a quote from this that I'm going to read to you. It's also up here on the screen if you want to look along with me. Francis Chan, he says, "From my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes, forgotten. While no evangelical would deny his existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year, and many of them do not believe they can." I don't want myself or this church to be in that millions, because we can be led by the Spirit. He is here. I this morning's worship, I want to thank the worship team so much. That was amazing time of worship for me, and the Spirit moves, and it was amazing. So thank you for that. So this morning, what I want to do is take a look at what the Holy Spirit, who He is, and most of this is drawn from the book. I would encourage you, if you haven't read this book, it's a great book. It's not, what I like about Francis Chan is he's not like he's very theological, but he doesn't get into those big theological words. It's easy reading, but it's also very powerful reading. So I have one copy, so if whoever gets here first can have that. I haven't checked if we have it in the library, or if not, there's a great bookstore called Christ-Centered Book and Music in Fort Myers. You can check it out. But anyway, so that's what we're going to do this morning. First I want to look at is the Holy Spirit is a person of God. There's three persons of God, you know, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And when I teach children about the Trinity, I like to use an egg as an example. Because, you know, an egg has three parts. You know, you got the shell, the yolk, and then the gooey, weird stuff that's the white. You know, it's only white when you cook it. But you got, so three parts. They're all very distinctively different, but they all work together and they form one unit, even though they're all separate, but they're all together, if that makes sense. So, while that's not a perfect example, I don't really think there is a perfect example for something that, you know, our human minds can't really grasp, the Trinity. You know, three different persons all acting as one God is not, you know, it's kind of, we can say those words, but we don't really understand it because God is God and we're human. So God, he's not like an egg. You know, God's not like anything that, you know, we can't really understand that. Chris Tomlin, I think, does a great job in his song when he says, God, you are indescribable, uncontainable. You know, God is eternal. And I think it's easy for us to put a limit on God. We try to contain him, but he is uncontainable. You know, we have a very finite brain. I have an extremely finite brain. Sometimes I feel like I'm the youngest person who's ever caught or been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I have one of the worst memories. And this brain cannot understand God. All of our brains put together cannot understand God or anything like him, the Trinity. But he still tells us to try, and we can by studying his word. And we can, with the Holy Spirit as our helper, we can search the deep things of God. Because the Holy Spirit, he is one of those three persons of God. He is omnipresent. Hudson, do you know what omnipresent means? He's everywhere. That's right. About omnipotent. Anybody else know what omnipotent means? Maybe one of our younger? Christopher? All powerful. That's right. And then omniscient. This one's the one I always got stuck with in junior church. I'm like, I never remember that one. Rachel, do you know? He's all knowing. Omniscient is like he's all knowing. That's, that's right. So the Holy Spirit, we know it's, you know, God and Jesus, you know, I think it's easier for us to know that God, he is all powerful, but the Holy Spirit is all powerful too, because the Holy Spirit is a part of God, and he is also all knowing. He knows us because he dwells inside of us. He is also everywhere. He is holy just like God, and he is also eternal just like God. He is part of God. But I think it's easy, at least for me, I don't want to put this on you, but for me, it's easy for me to think, you know, about Jesus and God the Father, but the Holy Spirit's also kind of, like I said, kind of out in left field. It's hard for me to kind of think of him or understand him because, you know, we have Jesus. It's easy for us to picture Jesus because was a man. He lived on earth. And then while I think some of us have a picture of God the Father, sometimes I think we might think he looks like Gandalf, but that's, I don't think at all accurate. But at least we can probably form something in our mind of what, you know, we can picture kind of in our mind what God the Father is like. But what about the Holy Spirit? I think it's easier us to think of him as like the Force, like in Star Wars, but he's not like that. He is a person of God. But so I think it's easy just to think of him as like a power source or like some just thing that's kind of out there. But he is here and he is with us and he is inside of us and he is a person. If you like to open your Bibles to the book of John and talk about when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and how he talks about him, I think it's important for us to know this. So John 14, verse 17. And it should also be up here on the screen if you'd rather look there. I'm going to start up in 16. It says, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, how is the Spirit referred to in that verse? He and him. So it is a person of God. It's not a energy source or anything like that. And we can see how God is a Trinity. One of the best examples, I think, in the scripture is when Jesus is baptized. Because you see Jesus there in the flesh, being there baptized. Then God the Father is up in the clouds and you hear his voice as the thunder. And then the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. So there you can see all the three persons of God there together. So we know that we serve a God who is three in one. And that's a good example of how we can see all of them working together. And I think it's just amazing that we can have God in with us, indwelling within us, like it says in that verse, and how he can help us and be with us, how he is our helper. I love that name, helper, you know, that he will never leave us, like he promises in his word. And so I have really, really enjoyed reading this book, but it's also been a good study for me to look for myself what Francis Chan is saying, because earlier this summer I went to CYA training, Christian Youth in Action, and I've been doing that for, I think this is my 8th year, and now I'm what's called a CLIA. CEF loves acronyms. It's kind of their thing. A CLIA is Christian Leader in Action. It's like a student staff member. And we get kind of extracurricular classes because, like, for people like me or Jessica or Melody or Bethany, we've been doing it a while. We've learned the wordless book. We've learned Bible lessons and all those things. So they kind of give us something extra. And we started to learn hermeneutics, which is, you know, just getting a deeper studying and breaking down of God's word. And so that's been really great for me to learn that, because now I could apply that to what I'm reading here in Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God. So, and it's really been great that I can get in deeper and not just, you know, take what it says in this book, but I can also go look for myself and see what he says. Something I've learned, it's always a good feeling, you know, when someone says, hey, you know, I'm praying for you. I've had, you know, it's a great feeling when someone comes up and tells you that. You know that someone knows what you're going through, or maybe they don't even know what you're going through. They just know something's wrong and that they're lifting you up in prayer. But did you guys know that the Holy Spirit does that for you as well? You know, we can do that as a body, which is amazing. But then the Holy Spirit, he is also praying for you. So we can open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we can see that for ourselves, how he does that. All right, and that one should also be up on the screen as well. It says in verse 26, Romans 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. On this past weekend, I got the opportunity to go up to Camp Good News, which is up in Hawthorne near Gainesville, for a short weekend, Thursday through Saturday. It's great. I wish I could have been there for a whole week. I've been doing this for the past 2 or 3 years. It's a day camp, and I just made a lot of good friends up there. And in the morning, we have counselor devotion time. And actually, Friday, this was what was covered partly in our devotions, and one of the counselors who's doing a great job, and just said, like, I really liked what he said about when the Spirit makes intercessions with groanings. There's, like, it isn't even words. And we can also, I think there's been times when I've been praying where there hasn't really even been, like, words. You know, when you feel so deeply about something, he's like, what can I even say about this? But the great thing is, because we have the Holy Spirit with us as believers, that he knows what we feel. He searches our hearts, like it says in right there in the word. It says that he searches our hearts. He knows what we're feeling, and he can tell that to God. He can intercede for us because he searches our hearts, and he can do the same thing. Because there have been times when I just felt so strongly about something. It's like, God, I don't know, but you know. That's why I love that God, he knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what we feel. He knows our emotions, and he knows what's going on. So we have that inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit as a helper there inside of us, and he is also praying for us. But it's also a great feeling when I know, like, when Brother Tom or Pastor Mark prayed for me this morning, you know, it's a great feeling, you know, that how someone is thinking of you and lifting you up. And the Holy Spirit does that as well. And What I'll also love is back in Hebrews 7:25, if you'd like, you can turn there, but it's just up here on the screen. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So not only do we have the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus. This is talking about Jesus Christ. So we also have Jesus Christ making intercession with God the Father for us. So that's, I think, another great picture of how the Trinity works. Because not only do we have the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, but we also have Jesus, God's Son, also talking to God the Father. So they're all working together. And we know that this works out for good for us because in Romans, it says that all things work out to good for those who believe in him. So God is working for the good of us. So we have the Holy Spirit and Jesus interceding for us. I kind of like that word. It's, you know, stepping in for us in front of God the Father. So it's really, I wish I could understand how this works. I wish I could know how exactly three different persons can act as one. You know, back when I played soccer, you know, our team would just click and we'd be doing just an amazing job. You know, we could feel like we know what was coming next, but that's not even close. You know, we weren't each other, but so I wish I could really know what that's like, you know, having a relationship that close, you know, that you're all together. But it just blows me away because, you know, I can be a really kind of an emotional person. I don't know if it's just been raised in a house with only one man and mostly women. I don't know if that's how I kind of turned out that way. I'm not really sure. Probably. But, you know, you can ask my family, you can ask Jessica, there's, you know, I can be happy, and I can be grouchy, I can be everything in between. If you played Airsoft with me, you know, I can get grouchy, and different things like that. And so we have emotions though. We're human beings. God gave us those, and they're amazing things, but they can also be a pain, because I know I can be a pain sometimes. But God gave us those emotions, and God has those emotions himself. And I think that's another thing that we kind of forget, you know, is God gave us those emotions, but he also has them himself. He created those emotions, but he also has them himself. Can anybody think of, you know, maybe some times in scripture where God shows his emotion, either God the Father, God the Son, or even the Holy Spirit? Miss Ephraim? Yeah. That must have been something to see, you know, Jesus in his anger clearing out that temple. I bet for the temple, everyone in the temple, I'm sure, was terrifying, but that must have been, you know, something pretty amazing, you know, righteous anger, probably frightening too. But, you know, Jesus, yes, he did definitely show righteous anger. I don't think I usually show righteous anger. It's usually unrighteous anger. But God shows righteous anger. That's right. Does anybody else think of any other? I saw a few other hands. That's right, when Jesus cries, like with Lazarus, or even in the garden, when Jesus cries, that's right. Yeah, so those are all great examples. And, you know, God, you know, he swore in his wrath. You know, God, a lot in the Old Testament, we see God's wrath, but we also see God's love. And, of course, all through the Bible, we see God's love, one of the greatest emotions, because God says God is love, and the Holy Spirit is love. And the Holy Spirit also has emotions as well. It might not be something like as tangible as Jesus crying, or Jesus in his anger clearing out the temple of those people. But the Spirit also has emotions because the Holy Spirit is God. And it just says in Isaiah in chapter 63 or in Ephesians 4, it tells us to do not grieve the Spirit. To grieve somebody is to cause them great sorrow or to cause them great grief, as what the dictionary says. And we do that when we sin. You know, our sin is a serious problem. I think it's easy for us. Jesus would do a lot of things, but one of them is just to treat our sin lightly. But our sin is not something to be dealt with lightly. When we sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit, it grieves God the Father, and it grieves Jesus Christ when we do that. And I think we just don't do that. I know I usually, when I do something wrong, is like, okay, well, whatever, kind of move on. But later, you know, I might come back and apologize for that. But at that moment, do I really think, you know, that I just caused God great pain when I did that? And all the pain that us collectively, or even me personally, cause God is a lot. But that just shows, conversely, how much God loves us. Even though all that pain, all that grief that we cause him, is that he sent his only son to die for us. Something that Pastor Mark said, this kind of opened my eyes a little bit. In our small group kind of example of how what God did for us is imagine like someone said, found a pile of ants. It's like, oh, here's a ant hill. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to, you know, watch out for you. And this is, that's kind of what he said. I'm adding on to it. So like if it's God saying, imagine if it's God, that's how he sees us, you know. It's kind of how we are, less than ants. But God said, oh, look, it'd be like if I came up, it's like, oh, here's an ant hill. I'm going to take care of you guys. I'm going to watch out for you. And I'm going to send my son to die for these ants. That doesn't make sense, does it? That's like crazy. But that's what, to me, that's like what Jesus did for us. You know, we're even lower than that. But because he loves us so much, that's one of his emotions, that he is love, that he did that, that he sent his only son to die for us, which is amazing. And I'm just blessed that he did that. And so God has given us these emotions, and but he also has the emotion of pain, though, when we sin. So I encourage you just to be thinking about that, because that's not something I really thought of. But studying, reading this book and studying that out, I found out, you know, if we're told not to grieve the Spirit, but when we do that, that is what we do, is we cause the Holy Spirit grief. So getting this ready was really hard. Like at first I did feel led after I was studying this book, you know, when Pastor Mark said, I wanted you to preach again. And I started reading this book and it kind of just clicked, you know, I was like, I want to do this. I want to preach about the Holy Spirit. But then I kind of weeks went on, I was like, what did I get myself into? I was like all the volumes that have been written on the Holy Spirit and me, I'm going to be teaching about it, the Holy Spirit, you know, I kind of felt overwhelmed about it because I haven't been to seminary. I'm just sharing with you. I'm not teaching you. I'm just sharing what I have learned because, there's many people in here who have more learned than I am, a lot more learned than I am. But I just felt like, what am I really doing? But God is good and he has helped me because I really feel strongly, because I know me with teaching children that teachers are held to a higher standard, and I want to make sure what I teach is correct. I want to make sure what I teach is good, and also that I don't mislead anybody in what I teach, either those of you who are here or the children that I teach, and especially children. I don't want to mislead anyone. But so I really felt overwhelmed because I just felt very pressured. And I kind of was like, do I really want to do this? Should I change? But God really helped me. I found this psalm, if you want to turn to it, Psalm 143. And just looking through the different, you know, concordances, finding verses about the Spirit, also finding ones that Francis Chan mentions in his book. But this one really did help me a lot. It says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good, and lead me in the land of uprightness. And really, I just had a great time. I was just praying, I was like, God, just take this. And it really went on from there, and I just really felt God's Spirit. He was comforting me and helping me. And it went, I think, a lot better. I don't know what you guys think. I think it went a lot better than what I had before. Because God knows what we can take. If you want to flip over to Acts, he knows what we can handle. I know that he would help me and get through this, because it says that the Lord is my helper. But it says in Acts 15, do I have that one up there? Oh, there it is. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you greater burden than these necessary things. So this is Paul talking to the church, but it knows that the Holy Spirit knows what they can bear, but the Holy Spirit also knows what we can bear and won't exceed that, because he knows, you know, we might think, you know, I can't handle this. I can't teach a sermon on the Holy Spirit. It's like, where would you even begin? Or I can't fill in the blank. I can't evangelize to this person at work. I can't stand up for this at school. I can't do this or this or this. But God knows, and he knows what we can bear, and he can help us, because it says that the Lord is my helper. And Jesus said, I'm sending you my helper. And if you have believed in Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, who is your helper and who can strengthen you. And he knows what you can bear, even though you might think, you know, I can't do this. But God, he knows, and he can help you. And the one thing that has really, as I was reading, there it is. I was reading a book. Now, I don't agree with everything that this author has said. I don't know if I have How many of you have read The Shack, the book called The Shack? There was some controversy around when it came out, and I read it, and I don't agree with everything it says, but in the book, it's a novel, I won't go in too much into it, but it shows God as Trinity, three separate people. God is portrayed in three separate people, which of course we know, but it personifies each person. And so you can have a character, you know, in this book, each one represents a person of God. And the author does a great job of showing how they work together, how they all knew what was going on with each separate person, and really made me think about, you know, how the Trinity works. And what I like, though, is it gave something that the Holy Spirit is portrayed as an Asian woman, but it was easier for me to connect because it was actually like a person. Like what we said before, the Holy Spirit, we don't really have, I don't think, like a physical image to tie to the Holy Spirit, which is why for me I kind of struggle with, because I'm kind of visual, especially when I'm thinking things. I don't have anything to tie to like what the Holy Spirit is, unless you wanted to think about it as a dove, which I guess you could, but it's really hard for me to really connect because it's a spirit. And I think that's why we kind of think of it as this, like, this force, this power source, you know, that we have. But that's not what it is. It's a person. It's a person of God. So reading this book, The Shack, is, if you want to read it, go ahead. But if you're not, that's fine. You'll live without reading it. But it was a good book in certain aspects. But it really helped me to think about, you know, that God is a Trinity. There are three persons. But, of course, we know about Jesus and God the Father, but the Holy Spirit. And it's really... Now, I guess I don't really have a picture in my mind of what the Holy Spirit is, but it's helped me think more that it is a person. It's not something else like the Force or in Star Wars or anything like that. So, I guess what I want you to take for this, like, I like to have a plan. If you came and talked to me, you know, I have a plan for college, I have a plan for after college, and then I have a plan for after college. I like to know what is going on. I like to have, you know, what time are we leaving? What time are we getting there? When I was little, I asked my mom at lunchtime what was for dinner, even at breakfast time what was for dinner, because I like to know what's going on. I like to have a plan. I hate when plans change suddenly. I don't like doing things on the fly. I hate being late. So really, I like being in control. I like to know what's going on. But one thing that's been a struggle for me is being sensitive to God, the Holy Spirit, giving, you know, following His lead. Because even though I have a plan, I have a feeling that those plans will change. Because I don't know what, I want to be in God's will. I know basically what God's will is for me, you know, but it's the details. I like details and I like to know the details, but I don't know the details. And sometimes that really bothers me. You know, the Spirit knows our weaknesses, and that is one of my weaknesses, and it's hard for me. But what I've really been learning is to be sensitive to that, to the Spirit leading. You know, maybe, you know, this isn't, you know, what you should do. I appreciate what Carissa said, you know, that she was being pushed into doing this ministry. And even when she missed that deadline date, you know, she didn't feel, you know, okay, that's it, moving on. And I think that's what we as Christians, we need to be sensitive to that. But it's hard for me because I want to do what I want to do. I want to follow my plan and do it my way. So, but God has given us all gifts. And I like using, you know, I have different gifts. And I like using those gifts that God has given to me. And, you know, those are also included in my plans. You know, I want to go into ministry because I believe God's given me a gift, especially with working with children. But God has given me that gift, and that's something I need to remember, you know, that it's not my gift. I didn't get it. God gave it to me, and He can use it the way that He wants. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that should also be, yep, there it is. You know, after, earlier in the chapter, all these spiritual gifts that are listed that God gives to us, it says, "But one and the same, the Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So the Holy Spirit also has a will. He does, you know, what the Holy Spirit does. And one of those things is giving out the spiritual gifts. And you want to look at what those are. They're there earlier in the chapter. Well, what I would encourage those of you, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, is to look and pray about what maybe your gift, you know, what you can do well and what you can do. Because God has given that to you. And that's for Him to use and for you to use for His glory. And that's one thing I kind of struggle with is to make sure what I'm doing is for God's glory, not just because I want to do it, because I want to follow my plan, but that I'm using it for God's glory and following His plan. Because we know that He has a plan for each one of us, plan for a hope and a future, and we need to remember that, that He knows what's best for us. And also that we barely, like, took our fingernail and scratched the surface about the Holy Spirit this morning. But I would encourage each one of you, if you want, this book is up for grabs. And put it right there, and whoever wants it, I'm gonna let you guys get it, and if you just, you know, bring it back when you're done, if someone else wants to borrow it, that's great. Because I want to keep on studying for myself, you know, what the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and how we, as a church, can be more sensitive, and how we can be led by the Spirit in worship, or as we're out in the world, how we can evangelize. Think of one of the things I feel like sometimes the Spirit is like, hey, talk to this person. One of the counselors at camp was talking about he repeatedly felt called to talk to this man that he saw at the mall. And there was a couple times he just walked past him and just said hi, but he didn't go up and talk to him about the Lord. And he felt very, very bad about that. And I think that's something that we, if we're out there in the world, we need to be sensitive to that. We need to be listening for that. You know, if we felt, hey, go talk to this person, or go a little deeper in that conversation. Don't just talk about the weather or about the Olympics, you know, take it somewhere else. I think that's something that we can do as well, because I don't want, can you put that quote back up? Because I don't want us to be in that millions of churchgoers. I want to be led by all three persons of God, not just Jesus or God the Father, all three, the Holy Spirit as well, because I want us to experience His presence and action in our lives. And we can do that because we have Him inside of us. If we have believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we know, because the Bible tells us that we have Him inside of us, dwelling inside of us, searching our hearts and interceding for us. Well, one last thing, though, that we're going to talk about today that the Holy Spirit does, and I think it's a very, very important thing, is conviction. Because the Holy Spirit does convict us of sin. And there's been a lot of times where I felt that I've done something wrong. One of these times, we were playing soccer Sunday evening, like we used. Well, I don't do it anymore. I should, but I don't. And you go exercise. But out there, and Pastor Mark, we were playing. And so the ball was like way over there, and I'm here, and Pastor Mark's over there. And I'm running towards the ball, then all of a sudden Pastor Mark's like, no, you're not going to get to the ball. And I really wanted to get to the ball because I felt like I could score a goal. And I was like, well, I couldn't get around him, so I was like, well, if you can't dodge it, then ram it. So I just, like, pushed Pastor Mark down, and I kept on going. And, yeah, I think, well, it's a game, it's a sport. But I was like, no, that's wrong. I did it in anger. That was wrong. And, of course, it's against the rules of soccer, too, and I should know that because I played on, I refereed. And I didn't really think about it anymore. You know, we finished the game. You know, wasn't really that big a deal. Then went home. But when I got home, it was bugging me so bad. I was thinking about that. I was like, I am a jerk. Why did I do that? I was like, and it bothered me so much that I called, do you remember? I called him and I apologized because I felt so bad about doing that. And I felt God talking to me. I was like, I couldn't get rid of it, but I'm glad because I was wrong in what I did. And there's been other situations where I just had to, you know, when God has laid on my heart, he's like, you need to apologize, and wouldn't let me rest until I did that. So I don't know if anybody else has a similar situation like that, but that's what the Holy Spirit does, convicts us of that sin. It's like that voice in there is like, you know what, you did that. That wasn't cool. You know, that was wrong, and you did that. And that's what He does in our life, and I'm glad because Bible says if we regard iniquity, sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. It blocks our relationship with God. Confessing sin is so important. You know, 1 John 1:9, knows we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I feel a lot of times we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, not until that's the Holy Spirit starts working on me and said, hey, you know, that was wrong. You need to apologize and then you need to confess. And not only did I apologize to Pastor Mark, and I remember him saying to me, that shows that the Holy Spirit is working to in your life. I remember that very clearly that he said that. Also, I apologize to God. And that's what we need to do, is confess our sin, not only to the people that we wronged, but also to God himself. and he will forgive us. I like to tell the kids with faithful and just, you know, God, he's always there, but he's always fair as well in his forgiveness. But, so if we, one, well, I'll turn, I don't have it up there on the screen, but the Bible says in John chapter 16, chapter 8, I mean verse 8, 16:8, John 16:8, well, I'll start in 7 so we have the context. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Because they do not believe in me." If you have not believed in Jesus Christ this morning, then your relationship is not right with God. The Holy Spirit, you know, says that he will convict of sin. That means that he is letting you know that your relationship is not right with God. God created all of us and he loves all of us, and he showed that love to us that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to give his blood for us. And if you know, if you're not sure, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ this morning, then the Holy Spirit, he may not be helping you or doing the things that he does for us as believers, but he is there and he is convicting you of sin. And if you feel like your relationship is not right with God, then you can come, you can talk to me, Pastor Mark, one of our elders, or the elders' wives, or Miss Carol. You can come talk, and I can show you right out of God's Word, or any of us can, how you can do that this morning, because we've all sinned. We all have that punishment. But if we believe in him, the Bible says in Acts 16:31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." That's all. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that he is God's Son. And then choose to believe in him. And then the Holy Spirit will be inside of you, and he will help you to know God and to live for him. If you'd like to do that, you can come talk to me after the service. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that for who you are, that you are God, that you are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad, Lord, that we cannot understand you, because, and that we cannot know completely you or who you are, because you are holy and you are eternal. And I'm glad that we have eternity to spend with you, because that's how long it'll take for us to really know you. But Lord, I thank you for your helper that you have sent to us, that you're helping us to know things about you, that he is helping us to live for you. And guys, pray for the rest of our time today as we're here and we're fellowshipping and we're learning out of your word, that you will bless us and you will be with us. And in your name I pray. Amen.